Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm glad that God so loved the world. We can have salvation as a result. Amen? Before I start today, I think that there's something that we need to stop and we need to pray about. I'm getting some information that Heather's had a very, very difficult week. And so with her health and different things, and they're going to be visiting a doctor. And so anyway, there's been some specific challenges this week. And so let's just stop for a moment. And I'm going to ask every one of you to join me in prayer. And I'm going to lift Heather up to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help in that situation. Not only Heather, but we'll ask God to pray. We'll pray to God to be with Sue as well. And also, Tom, you get to live in the house too. So we'll pray for you too, sir. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to sing praises to you, Father. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we get to heaven and we will sing praises to you in heaven. And Lord, we will do it often, I'm sure. But Lord, we just want to pray right now. We want to lift up Heather, our sister, to you. And Lord, we know that she's had some real strong challenges this week with her health. And Lord, we know that Sue works very hard on helping to take care of her. And Lord, we want to lift Heather up to you, Lord, and we want to lift up Sue to you. And Lord, Tom as well. Lord, we pray that you'll be with that family. Lord, we pray that you'll be with A4, that all of them as they go through this challenge. And Lord, as they get ready to go to the doctor, Lord, I pray that you will give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, I pray that they can find some solutions. And Lord, that Heather's quality of life can be really good. And so, Lord, we're asking for your help right now. And Lord, we know that you answer our prayers and we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in today's message. And Lord, I pray that you will help with the message, Lord. I know that the devil would like to interfere. And Lord, I pray that you will bind his hands and Lord, just put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us. And in this church, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right. Well, my sermon today is coming from Daniel chapter 10. And it's entitled An Inside Look. So if you want to follow along today, most of it's going to be coming from Daniel chapter 10, and I'll give you some verses that go along with it. But an inside look. We're going to be getting an inside look of the spiritual realm today. And so as we look at this, we're going to be seeing some things that are shown through chapter 10 as we get ready to finish this last vision as we go into 10, 11, and 12 to finish the book of Daniel, and then we'll prepare to, God willing, to be in the book of Revelation. But just to start off with here, as we talk about this inside look, the thing that I want to say kind of an introduction to start off with is I would just want to remind everybody in verse 14 of chapter 10, there's the reminder that we've been talking about. And this reminder that we've been talking about is the fact that first of all, that God tells Daniel that this vision or this revelation that he's getting actually pertains to latter days. I believe that we're in those latter days or heading towards those latter days. And also, we will see some of the things in latter days that actually are a picture of the latter days. They're later than what's being told, but they will be a picture of the latter days by looking at Antiochus Epiphanes once again, which we've kind of covered in some of the earlier chapters already. But the other thing, besides the latter days, here's the other thing that I want to remind everybody of, and that is, and this is the second thing that is reminded in verse 14, is this is concerning Israel. When we look at the book of Daniel, it's important for us to understand that in Daniel's prayers, he's asking about the nation of Israel. They've been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and then he's seeing at the point of what we talked about last week, another 490 years. And we talked about that 490 years. We know at this point 483 of those years has taken place, and we're waiting for that final 7 years, which is the tribulation. And that 490 years we learned last week and what we see in what God is telling Daniel here, this is pertaining to Israel. Well, obviously, if we're here and we're around the things that are going on with Israel, then actually we are able to look at this and see how it actually affects us as well. But as far as Daniel's concerned, it concerns Israel. Now, I want to just start in chapter 10 with verse 1. And I just want to start with verse 1 and read it to you and then talk a little bit of introductory statements here, and then we'll keep moving through it. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, the word of God says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar." Now, it just says his name was Belteshazzar just because of a lot of the history documents and those things. This is who he identified, or how he was identified in this country. He is obviously Daniel, and Belteshazzar was a name that was given to him while he was in captivity. And it's just, if we were to look back in historical documents and stuff, you might even see the name Belteshazzar, which would be Daniel. "And the word was true, and it was a great conflict." So Daniel says two things here. He says what he sees obviously is true. It's in God's word, so we know it's true. God chose to share this with us. And it was a great conflict. So what is he seeing here is a great conflict. What's coming in the latter days is a great conflict. But what we're going to be looking at today is kind of an inside look into the spiritual realm, which is a great conflict also. And we can actually learn a lot about the spiritual realm by what we'll be reading today and what we'll be looking at. And it goes on and says, "And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision." Well, we know that Daniel was a smart fellow. And we know that he had understanding of this vision. He had been seeking understanding for quite some time. Now, he sees this great conflict coming, and he gets understanding of it. And I want to just tell you at this point, for a point of reference, at this point, Daniel is probably in his late 80s or early 90s. There's kind of a conjecture on that, but he's actually, at this time, really not even, we don't even see him working in government anymore. He's no longer really in the government. He's probably what we would call, in today's terms, retired. But yet, he is still in his late 80s, early 90s. He's praying. And actually, what we're seeing him doing in this particular point here is he's fasting. He's fasting. And so we see him very, very active as far as his service to God also. Now, I will tell you, in the book of Ezra, and there's a few books that in the Bible that kind of add layers to this here, but in the book of Ezra, we see that 42,360 people of Israel had returned back to Israel. So at this point, we're seeing the end of that 70 years coming. It's coming to a conclusion. And at this point here where Daniel's actually getting this vision, there's been a little over 42,000 people that have returned. We got to know that that's probably something that is kind of discouraging to Daniel, to only see, after being in captivity, his country having a return of about 42,000 people. So this is more than likely one of the reasons, and I'm just assuming, it doesn't say this, but I'm making an assumption here, and that's always dangerous, by the way. But that we see this here. He's probably a little bit discouraged at seeing only 42,000 people return to Israel at this point in time. And so we see him actually doing a fast here. But also, as we see him doing this fast, it's a partial fast. It's just really the essentials. I don't know if this has got something to do with his age or what, but he's doing just a partial fast here. And he has actually been fasting and praying for 3 weeks. Now, how many people, and I won't ask you to raise your hand because your fasting is to be a private thing, but how many of us have actually fasted over something, really sought God's direction on something and prayed and fasted just to get an answer? And this is something that Daniel's done here. And as he's been seeing some of the information, he still wants to know some more, and he's going to get to know a little bit more in today's revelation that we're looking at. As a result of a 3-week fast that he's doing and praying. Now, in this particular vision that we see, and the vision that we'll be talking about, the revelation that I'm talking about today, when we look at this here, we're getting, like I said, a look into the supernatural world. And as we look in the supernatural world, I don't want to glamorize it. I mean, Hollywood has certainly used a lot of the supernatural, haven't they? And they've used it to really sell movie tickets and that kind of thing. And we also know that the books are out there. That's not what's going to be happening in today's sermon. I'm not going to be horrific, and I'm not going to be overly glamorous about it or anything like that. I'm just going to share with us what the Word of God shares here to kind of let us know what's going on behind the scenes, an inside look on what's going on in a realm that we actually don't see. And so Daniel actually, by the answer of his prayers, actually sees a lot of these things. And I will tell you, I don't think that God wants us to really dwell on this too much, but he does give us a look in on this. And I think he gives us a look in on this just to let us know how things are working. And as we look at these things and how things are working behind the scenes, it should really cause us to pause and to think and to really think about how we actually live our lives. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a minute. Now, first of all, the first thing that I want to say is in John 4:24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God is a spirit. And so in order for us to actually be worshipers, and when I say worshipers, I mean living for Christ, living for him each and every day, for us to really be worshipers and for us to be actually able to pray with efficacy, for our prayers to actually reach the throne of heaven, we have to be spiritually alive. We are praying to a spiritual God. He is a spirit. And so in our prayers, we have to be spiritually alive to be able to reach the throne of heaven. Amen? And so we know that obviously Daniel is obviously somebody that is alive in God, because his prayers, like the one that we saw last week, man, he prayed, and while he was praying, he got the answer. What we'll see today is during the time of his fast, the 3 weeks that has passed by in this fast, it's taken 3 weeks to get an answer to this particular prayer, and that's part of the sermon today, is why it took 3 weeks. But what I will say also is that one of the things that this is really important for us to get from today's message, and that is this. As we look at this, being the fact that we are spiritually alive, and therefore we can pray, and therefore we can worship, and therefore we should worship. We should be worshipers. We should be living for God each and every day. And let me just tell you why. Not just to where we can grow, not just to where we can be in fellowship with God, but what we'll see today is for a hedge of protection. For a hedge of protection. The closer we are to God, the more that we as Christians are walking with God, the more that we have a hedge of protection around us. We just got through singing in one of the songs about the news and the things that are going on in the news. And maybe we watch the news and we think to ourselves, man, I don't even know where this is all going, and this is driving me a little bit crazy. At least that's the way I feel about it. Frankly, I'm getting sick a lot of this stuff. Amen? But certainly I am, and I know. We have to be informed. We have to know what's going on. I get it. But as we look at these different things here, sometimes it drives me a little bit crazy, and I think, man, I don't know how this is all going to end. And it would cause us sometimes to be a little concerned. But when I look at what I'm looking at today, that I know that I don't have to be concerned. What I need to do is to actually tie into God and be walking with God, being in his word and being a person in prayer. And God's going to take care of it. God's going to put a hedge of protection around his people. And when I say a hedge of protection, that doesn't mean that maybe we don't suffer a little bit. But it does mean that we just really don't have anything to worry about, because God's in control. And we'll see that. Now, this leads to my first point today, and my first point's actually going to be talking about a visit from Jesus. As we look at this visit from Jesus that we're getting ready to see here in the book of Daniel, maybe you're thinking to yourself, now wait a minute, we see Jesus really in the New Testament. We don't see Jesus in the Old Testament. We see Jesus throughout the entire Word of God, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to just go ahead and just say that there's maybe some people that wonder if this is Jesus, but I'm going to show you something that actually ties into the book of Revelation to show you that this is Jesus, actually, that it's Daniel looking at. We've seen Abraham, we've seen Moses, all of these guys have actually had some interaction with God, and what we would call a theophany. And in particular, in this particular visit from Jesus, we call a Christophany. It's a visit from Jesus the Messiah. So let's look at it. Look at Daniel chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 4. The other verses have talked about the fact that he's fasted, so we'll pick up in verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris River, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words, like the sound of a multitude. Now I want to stop there just for a moment, and I want to do something here. I want to actually, if you're taking notes today, I want you to put in your notes Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12 through 15. Put in your notes Revelation 1, 12 through 15. We're staying in the book of Daniel, but what I want to do with this verse here is I want to read this verse, and I want, as you hear this verse, I want you to compare this verse to these verses to the verses that I just got through reading in Daniel in this description. And what I will tell you is in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, what we will see is this is Jesus. This is Jesus our King. Listen to the description. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. We know the seven golden lampstands represent the fact that Christ walking amongst the churches in the New Testament. We're in Revelation here, so we see him actually in New Testament form walking in the midst of the churches, and we know that the churches are, it's his bride, right? And then verse 13, in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and a voice like the roar of many waters. You can put those two sets of verses together, and you basically are seeing almost an identical description. I say almost. And when I say almost, when we look at this particular description here, in Daniel you see the golden belt or whatever it's called there around his waist. And then in Revelation you see it around his chest. And that's really the only difference that you see as far as that's concerned. And when we look at that here, we know that in the Old Testament, as Daniel's getting a vision of Jesus, he's seeing Jesus before Jesus had actually gone to the cross. And so that belt there is still in servant form, where he's actually in servitude. But in Revelation, you see it around his chest. He's already done. Now he's the judge, and he's the king, and he's the one that's doing that. So we know that in one vision versus the other vision, a lot of time has passed, and the role of Jesus has completely changed because he's gone to the cross. He's paid for the sins of mankind. But it's important for us to know that Daniel actually sees him here, because last week we talked about the fact that Daniel saw that Messiah was cut off. We see that happening in the time at the end of the 483 years before we start the last seven, which is the tribulation. Before that happens, we see him cut off. And so this is one of the things that was surely giving Daniel some consternation. He's like, man, how does this happen to Messiah? But he sees Messiah in his glory. And we see this happening. In Revelation, another thing that I will say, when we look at that in Revelation, we see that grace really it's really expired because of the fact that now judgment is starting there. And the judgment that Daniel is actually getting ready to be told about. This is very much also similar to what was seen at Christ in the Transfiguration in his full glory. Now, let's move on. Look at verses 7 through 9. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So they didn't see it, but there was obviously something that was going on here that really scared the daylights out of them. And if I saw something like this, if you saw something like this, we'd have similar reactions. I think that Daniel's reaction, he's getting to actually see these things because he's actually the one that belongs to God, and he's the one that's been praying to God for an answer. So, he says, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of the words. As I heard the sound of the words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. So we see here that the men around him, didn't hang around. This kind of also reminds me of whenever Saul, or Paul, was actually on the call of Saul to actually on his way towards being converted. It reminds me of that because they heard Saul heard the voice, but the other people and a light, but the other people didn't see what was going on, but they knew something was going on and they fled as well. You see that in Acts chapter 9. And so these are all similarities in some visitations that have happened with Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this here, I just want to say this. Those that are spiritual are the ones that hear from God. Did everybody hear what I just said? Those that are spiritual are the ones that hear from God. They have the eyes of faith. And so in the midst of all these people around, Daniel's the one that's actually the one that's hearing from God. And not only is he the one hearing from God, he's the one that has the eyes of faith. Did you know that the lost actually don't see these things? Like, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, the Word of God says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Now, as you hear this, maybe you're thinking, okay, if that's the way that it works, how does one get saved? We'll talk about that in just a second. It says, in their case, the God of this world, and notice that the God of this world is a small g, it's not God. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What I want you to get from this here that kind of pertains to what we're talking about today is the fact that this verse here in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. That's one of the things that Satan is busy doing. So he's busy trying to blind the unbelievers. He tries to actually put a blindness to them to where they don't see the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there is a spiritual battle going on. There is a spiritual battle going on between the lost and the saved. There is a spiritual battle going on with the saved. There's a spiritual battle going on with kingdoms. There's spiritual battles going on in families. There's spiritual battles going on in churches. There is a lot of spiritual battle going on. And one of the things that we hear from God is God actually going to battle. And like, for example, as you're hearing this and you're lost today, and you hear this, but right now you feel something in your soul saying, this is truth, and I need to be saved possibly today. Maybe that's what you're thinking. That is God actually going to battle for you for your salvation. He went to battle for you by going to the cross and shedding his blood to pay for your sins. And he died and he rose again. And that's spiritual battle. He defeated Satan by actually being the sacrifice that can pay for our sins. And so we know that the eyes of faith is something that is a result of spiritual battle going on. And brothers and sisters, might I remind every one of us, as you hear today's message, is you do need to understand there is a spiritual battle going on. And it does affect every one of us. When God reaches out to us, we basically hear him and surrender with faith. And that's what happens. There's an oppression that takes place. And that kind of thing. But here's what I want to say. I was thinking about whenever I realized that I was lost. And whenever I was sitting in a Roman study. And as I was sitting in the Roman study, the gospel was being presented. One of the things that happened is, obviously the devil didn't want me to get saved, doesn't want anybody to get saved, but he didn't want me to get saved, but God was actually showing me some things. His Spirit was showing me some things. There was spiritual battle going on. There was the devil saying, don't listen to this, this is ridiculous, that kind of thing, and meanwhile, there was God working for salvation. This happens for each and every person, and we see it happening around Daniel. Daniel's hearing these things. He's receptive to it. You see other people that aren't receptive to it. And it's something that when God speaks, I will just tell you, If you have heard the gospel and you said, nah, I just don't need it. I just will tell you, that's the devil telling you don't need it. But there was also another voice saying, you do need it. And what I would suggest to each and every person that isn't saved, that they would listen to God's voice and be saved. That's for sure. And so there's a time where we all have to surrender to faith, and we see that at this point in time, Daniel has no other choice. God's speaking to him, and Daniel hears him because Daniel belongs to him. Now this takes me to my next point here. And my next point is called an inside look. It is the title of the sermon. This is where we're going to be taking this inside look. We see all of this going on here, and we see Daniel seeing this revelation. And as this revelation goes on, we're going to see some really peculiar things, actually. Like I had said, Daniel earlier had seen Messiah cut off. And so, but here, he saw Jesus as his majesty. That had to be an encouragement to him. That had to be an encouragement to him to know that Messiah is an overcomer. And he's an overcomer for each and every one of us. Jesus overcame death. And because he overcame death, we have salvation. Now look at verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me. So now we know that he's fallen to the ground. And he pretty much had passed out. And so now we see another figure coming into play. And we'll talk about who these figures are. We know that he saw a vision or a revelation of Jesus, and now it says a hand. So there's another being here. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. So we see another messenger that had been sent to him to actually bring this message to him. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. So this messenger is telling him, and this angel, I will say, is telling him that your prayer has been heard. And your prayer has been heard because you've been humbled before God, and he's wanting him to know that God heard his prayers. How does that make you feel as you hear this? As a child of God, how does that make you feel? It should make you feel very encouraged, because you hear that whenever we pray and we humble ourselves before God and we really seek the throne of God, that God hears us and answers our prayers. And he is actually coming because of the words of Daniel's prayer. He says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Man, there's lots of talks about kings and princes and all of this kind of thing here. And we know that Michael is an angel. So what are we talking about here? Who are these people? Who are these people? Who is this prince of the kingdom of Persia that withstood him, this angel, for 21 days? I want to just answer that question by telling you these are what I will call a dark angel. There's spiritual forces that were going on at this particular time in Persia. And what we'll see is it goes on towards actually Greece, as Greece comes into power. And there's spiritual forces behind every government. How do I know that? That's what the Word of God is sharing with us. We're getting a little bit of an inside look of what goes on in the world that none of us see. But God's letting us know this. And what we see here is this says that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him for 21 days. Well, that was the 3 weeks that Daniel had been fasting and praying, right? So all of this time that's going on, there was a battle going on supernaturally. Listen, the devil did not want Daniel's prayer answered. The devil did not want this to come to us. He didn't want this in the Word of God. This was something that was fought. The devil doesn't want the truth to get out there. And there's actual battles that take place in the spiritual world. It's wild, isn't it? But we see this, and it says, for 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, and one of the things that we see from the Word of God is Michael is actually the angel that actually is the angel of Israel. So we see him coming along and helping in this fight. And it's probably not just the two of them, but they're actually battling this. But when we see the words princes and kings and different things like this, this tells us something else about the spiritual world that we need to kind of pay attention to. There's actually organization. There's actually organization and titles and those kind of things that go on behind it. And so when we look at this here, these people actually have titles that are going on. Now, I'm not telling you these things to make us afraid, okay? We don't have to be afraid because our God is greater. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. So I'm not telling you these things to make it really scary, but I'm telling us these things to make us sober. Scared and sober are two different things. Amen? It would do well for us to be sober and pay attention to these things. Because it says, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. He was battling and got some help. And he, since he got the help, he could actually get to Daniel. The very battle was actually keeping him from getting to Daniel to convey this message. And he came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. There it is. Do you hear it? He came to tell Daniel what was going to happen to Daniel's people in the latter days. Man, I'm not talking, in this case here, this is talking about the nation of Israel, because that's what Daniel's been praying about. For the vision is for the days to come. So let's talk a little bit about these verses before we move on. First of all, we see that Daniel is awakened to another messenger. I'm going to call this messenger an angel. And we'll talk about this a little bit in some of these other characters. He had been fasting and praying, and while he had been fasting and praying, what goes on while we fast, pray, worship, go to work, do all these things? What happens? Spiritual warfare happens behind the scenes. We watch the news and go, man, these guys in government, they're peculiar. And some more peculiar than others. Amen? And I just want to tell you that behind the scenes, it's more peculiar than any of us know. Do you think these guys know it? I don't think so. I think that when the Antichrist shows up, I think he'll get it. I do. But we see that this is what's going on here, and this spiritual warfare is going behind the scenes. And now, we see the background of this, and we see that spiritual warfare is going on in Persia. It's going on because what we know that's getting ready to happen is the next thing that's going to be happening is what Daniel had been talking about earlier, where it was going to go from Babylon, to Medo-Persia, and from Medo-Persia to Greece. And so we know that that battle's going on, and all of those things were going on behind the scenes, where we look at it from a history book and go, well, it went from Cyrus to Alexander the Great. But what was going on behind the thing was spiritual warfare. Now, put in your notes Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24 through 30. Here's a verse by Jesus himself, some verses by Jesus himself. And I want you to listen to what he says and to kind of give some behind the scenes look into what is going on in this spiritual warfare. Because God does give us a little bit of information. It says, but when the Pharisees heard it, and this is talking about Jesus casting out demons, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. So they were actually, the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of actually being possessed by the devil. And so that's how he had this power to get rid of demons. Interesting, right? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And so Jesus is saying to them, what in the world are you talking about? If I've got a devil myself, why would I be attacking my own family, so to speak? And he says, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, or the devil, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. In other words, he's saying, you guys do this too, so where does yours casting out come from? But if it is by the Spirit of God, Jesus says, that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now Jesus is saying to the Pharisees something that actually does pertain to what Daniel's seeing, because he's saying he is the Messiah. But the nation of Israel hasn't been recognizing the Messiah, and they don't recognize him here. They're being too accusatory. And he's saying to them, that's who I am. And that's why I have the power to defeat devils. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one that has the power over all of this. I am the one. And so when we look at this that's going on here, he's the one in Daniel that's actually giving victory over these dark forces. And so this is something certainly that Jesus understands also. Then in verse 30 he says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Now, I just want to say at this point here that there is a spiritual kingdom of darkness that we've seen in Daniel. There is a spiritual darkness that is seen with Jesus. As a matter of fact, when one of the things that my wife and I were talking about that struck us funny is it's so interesting that everywhere that Jesus was going in the 3 years that he was going around, that he kept running across people that were possessed by a devil. They were possessed by demons and those things, and he would cast out those demons. I don't know about you, but I don't go around all the time seeing this and happening and seeing that going on. Do you? Or do we? And when I want to say that, just want to remind you that the Word of God is giving us some background information here. And I'm not, once again, not saying this to be scary. This is reality. There are principalities. There are powers. There's rulers of darkness out there that are orchestrated by the devil himself. And one of the things that I will say, in addition to the fact that this happens, is when they were cast out, if it's not filled with the things of God, Jesus actually said sometimes it comes back seven times as bad as it was before. Which might explain some of the things that we see that are going on in the world today. And we go, oh, it's just a crazy world. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. And so we get a look into the background of this, and you've got to understand that was going on then, it's going on now. Now, in Daniel's revelation for Israel, he gets an inside look here. And that's what we're seeing happening here. Listen, all of these things that we see in the spiritual world goes on parallel, I will say, to the physical world. And so when we look at this here, don't you know that if the devil's objective out there is to stop the advancement of the gospel and is stopping the advancement of truth, don't you know the church actually sometime or another is going to run into confrontation? Don't you know that? We should understand that. Sometimes we talk about something happening in a church and somebody's not nice or something bad happens. And I want you to know that the devil would like to destroy this church. He'd like to destroy every church that's out there. He would. And these things are going on out there. And we see them happening as far as that's concerned. But I also want you to know that this not in your life. Think about this for a moment. The devil and his demons are out there affecting churches. They're out there affecting lives. Your lives, my lives. They don't want you to. We sang about today that we want joy in the Lord. Well, the devil doesn't want us to have joy in the Lord. He doesn't want us in the Word of God. He doesn't want your home to be godly. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to share your faith. He doesn't want your marriage to be a godly marriage. So it shouldn't surprise us every once in a while whenever we run into opposition and we feel opposition. And a lot of times we will say, well, that's just the way that it is. And a lot of times we really are the problem ourselves, our flesh, right? But sometimes it's supernatural and there's supernatural oppression that takes place out there also. How do I know? Because that's what we see going on there. Satan is the enemy of Christianity. Satan is the enemy of Israel. Satan is the enemy of God's and his plan. So I will just tell you, if you want to fit into his plan, there's going to be opposition. Man, we talk about the United States and it is one nation under God. And we look at it now and we really question that. We go, is it really under God these days? Well, I can tell you, if the devil and the spiritual forces behind it have their way, it won't be. And that kind of thing. We see the hatred for Israel, and I'm not talking about whether they do everything politically correct or not. I'm just talking about people, the Jewish people. What's the hatred all about? Well, that's obviously the people that God's been dealing with Daniel here, and we see it happening, and we see that 490-year prophetical period that we've been talking about, and it involves them. And so that should explain what's happening with these people as we look at the background here. So we look at this, and we know that God's plan, number one, please listen to me when I say this, God's plan is going to win. But that doesn't mean it doesn't get opposition. God's plan is going to win, so guess what? If I want to win, I've got to be on God's plan. Makes sense, right? If I'm not on God's plan, I'm on the other plan. And that other plan's got opposition, working against the things of God. Think about that one for a moment. Think about that in everything that affects our lives. Not just our government and everything like it, but everything. So, we conclude in the fall of Satan, when Satan fell, we conclude that several went with him. We see that a lot of them went with him. And so we know that there's forces out there, and we know that there's only one way to stand against those forces of evil, and that's to be in God's plan. Brothers and sisters, think about that really hard right now. We want to actually be in God's plan because there's such a hedge of protection around us that it makes us fly above this kind of stuff here. God was getting information to Daniel that Satan himself didn't like. He didn't want Daniel to be writing these things. Here we are talking about it today. Why are we talking about it today? We're talking about it today because God spoke to Daniel and Daniel shared it with us. God shared it with us. He didn't want us to know this. He'd like you to think that we're just living life and everything is just hunky-dory and there is no opposition. Yeah, there is. There is. And we're shown that. Listen to a few of these verses as we get down towards the end of the message today. The first one that I want you to put in your notes here is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'm not sure how serious we're taking things, but listen to this verse and tell me that we shouldn't take it a little bit more seriously. Ephesians 6, 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers." Do you hear it? Rulers, prince, king, you know, like what's described in the book of Daniel, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So Paul is actually telling us that our spiritual battle that we go to as we share the gospel, as we try to live the Christian life, as we try to live the Christian life in our marriages, as we try to live the Christian life in our jobs and all of those, there is opposition. And brothers and sisters, you are a Christian. If you're a Christian, abide in God. That is your safe space. That's where you need to be. Here's another one, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. In which you once walked, before we were saved, Paul's talking about before we were saved, in which you once walked, once before we were saved, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. No, man, we like to think that we were just lost, that's all. But it says that we are following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We actually used to be on the other side. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not just an innocent little thing. You really need Jesus Christ more than you know for your well-being. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Do you hear that? That's where the devil lives, in the passions of the flesh. That's where he lives. He lives there because that's the thing that will take you away from the things of God. I didn't say we'll take you away from a nice meal. God wants you to have a nice meal. Won't take you away from happiness in your family. God wants your family to be happy. He created it. He wants you to be happy in your marriage. He wants you to go to work. That's not what it's talking about in the flesh. It's talking about those little cravings that take us away from God. That's what he's talking about. And so we see that happening there. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then here's another one. Listen to this. This one's always blown my mind. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain. This is when the devil tempted Jesus, coming in fully God and fully man. So Jesus went through temptations just like what we did. But as he paid the price for our sins, he didn't succumb to temptation. Yet he was in the flesh just like every one of us. That's one of the glorious things about our salvation, brothers and sisters. The devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I always thought to myself, Jesus doesn't need that. He's the one that created everything. But what I want you to see here is he wanted Jesus to say, that's mine, you know, and be prideful about it. And he said, and all these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. See, the devil wants us to be pulled away from the things of God. Even Jesus himself, if he could have pulled him away, he was dumb enough to try to pull God away from the things of God. Because why? He wanted to destroy. That's why he's called the destroyer. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Not only him, but us too, huh? Listen, the devil, and we've said this before, but this is so important to go along with this message today. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not. God is omnipresent. The devil is not. The devil is not omniscient. God is. So when we look at this, a lot of times we talk about the devil and God like, the devil or God, which one? Which one? No, no. They're not equal. One's evil, one's good, but they're both all powerful and all that. No, it's God and it's the devil, and I don't even know where he fits in the hierarchy there. And so in our thinking there, we've got to understand that our God is so far above all of this that that's where we find our solution to this problem that's going on behind the scenes. And so we see that Daniel sees what's coming later in the next few years and latter days, and we'll talk about that in the next few weeks, God willing. So let's finish this up. Daniel chapter 10, verse 15 through 21. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground, and I was mute. In other words, as he saw this stuff, it was like, man, what can I say? He just hit the ground. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man, another angel, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. This whole supernatural thing, listen, drained the very life out of physical Daniel.
I want to go out there and I want to battle demons and stuff like that. And we say foolish things like that. Man, just actually seeing all this going on wore Daniel out.
It takes the strength of God to get through this world. And so we leave it up to God. Did you hear me? How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Please don't let these verses go by, this verse here go by you in this conversation. It says that Daniel was greatly loved. Fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. If you belong to Christ and you're serving God and you belong to him, he loves you. Okay? He loves you, and the word to us is to be strong enough, be of good courage. We don't have to worry about this stuff because we're depending on the power of God, who is so much greater. And he will strengthen us too. Man, sometimes trying to be a pastor or trying to be a teacher or trying to be a servant of God wears us out, doesn't it? It just wears us out. And we go, man, sometimes I just want to throw in the towel and just quit for a while. I'm so tired. We get. And God says, be of good courage. I'll give you strength. You keep pushing on and depend on me. And then he said, do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. He's saying exactly what Daniel had already told us, is that it was going to go from actually Medo-Persia to Greece. That's what's going on in this battle. So when we read our history books and we see that the Alexander the Great came in and defeated the Medo-Persians and all this kind of stuff, and we go, wow, isn't history amazing? It's more amazing than we know. Because there was not only battle going on in the physical, there was battle going on in the spiritual. Because why? Because God's going to do exactly what God's plans are to do. God's going to do his mission. None of this stuff happens by accident. We look at this stuff and we go, it's crazy. But it's not an accident. It's amazing that only God could actually make it all land right. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. And so we see here that basically this angel saying, okay, we're giving you the answer, and then we're going on and doing the work. And what we see here, we see two different worlds colliding. We see the physical and the spiritual world colliding because of the answer for Daniel's prayer here. We see God's wisdom coming through God's messengers, and we see Daniel. And when we look at these two here, we see like in Isaiah, where Isaiah saw a vision of God, and Isaiah said, oh my gosh, I'm undone. I'm unclean. He got around God, he said, I'm unclean. And he said, my lips are filthy. And the angel cleaned them for him. And we see this happening with Daniel. The presence of God was the thing that was solace for God's people. Right? Daniel had no words. And he was very, very weak. And yet God said, I get you through this, Daniel. I will get you through this. He was strengthened from the power of heaven. We are strengthened from the power of heaven. The devil would like to make us discouraged and quit. The devil likes to say, well, nothing good is happening at the church. Nothing good is happening in my marriage. Nothing good is happening at my job. Nothing good, nothing good, nothing good. The devil would like to keep doing all of those things. But I want you to tell you something. Find your strength in God to get through these things, because maybe some of the opposition that you're feeling is more than you even know. Because some of these, we look at the angels and they come in angelic form. We see the demons, and isn't it funny how they want to possess things? And we see that happening. Or if they can't, like us human beings that know Jesus Christ our Savior, we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. But we can be oppressed. They can afflict us and afflict us and afflict us. But we don't have to go along with that. It wears us out. We find our strength in God. Daniel was strengthened from the power of heaven. I want to tell you something. I know some of you guys think, well, Brother Robert is obviously a little girly man or something. He's a pansy or something. Because I say, man, after I preach, I am so tired. How do you get tired preaching? You just run your mouth. I go out there and I lift things and throw things around, and I'm strong and all that kind of stuff. Man, I want to tell you, when I preach, I get so tired. Spiritual battle wears us out. And the only way that we do spiritual battle is through the strength of God, not in our own flesh. So we see also in the supernatural world, there's different beings. There's angels, there's messengers, there's warriors. They've got different roles that are taking place. In the demonic world, they've got different positions and they've got organization. When I tell you that the devil is not God's equal, he is not. But he is organized. He is organized. And so, since he's so organized, what we got to do is just depend on God, and God overcomes his organization. Why is there evil? Ask you this question, why is there evil? Well, because of the sin that goes on, and the sin that goes on stirs up unbelief. Listen to this, sin actually gets and stirs the pot and creates unbelief. That's what the devil's out there trying to do. He's out there with the sin in our life, and the more that we allow sin in our life, and the more that we don't walk with God and we allow sin, our pot gets stirred up. And what happens as a result? Unbelief.
Why is it that when you see somebody that like faithfully is serving God and then all of a sudden they just quit serving God? Well, it's probably something that entered their life, and rather than saying, God help me, kind of went along with it. And the devil got it and stirred the pot and unbelief, and it caused them to want to quit. Right? We've got to stay strong. We've got to stay in God's word. We've got to be faithful. Stirring up unbelief is the mission of hell. It is. And that was what was Israel's problem. That was their problem. Let me ask you another question. What are you facing today? What kind of things are you facing today? Maybe you're here today and you're problem free. And if you're problem free, God bless you. I'm happy for you. But just hang on. Because this preacher's not going to tell you, serve Jesus and everything will be perfect and you'll be healthy forever and all that kind of. No, none of that. I'm just going to tell you that we get through by depending on God. So what are you facing today? Know that you need strength from God. And that is His design. His design is for us to be tied in to the vine, to be tied into Jesus. Not, I'm with Jesus a little bit, but I'm over here, and then I'm back with Jesus, and now I'm not with Jesus. No, we've got to be tied into the vine. In that picture there, you see that vineyard and that vine, and there's God, and we're connected to Him. And we've got to stay connected. We've got to stay connected, because that's how we get through this. We look, and what we're getting ready to talk about is in the weeks to come, and what we've talked about in the weeks past is people like Antiochus Epiphanes. We discussed him. He is a picture of the Antichrist, and we saw him, and he was pure evil. We look in our history books, and we see people like Hitler and Stalin. We turn on the news, and we see stories about mass murderers. We hear things about gender dysphoria and perversion and false religion and soon Antichrist. And God knows what's going on in all of these things. But what I will tell you in all of these things are some spiritual forces behind them. How do I know? We get an inside look from the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And so I ask this final question. Does the future scare you? Does the future scare you? If I was just in the flesh, and wasn't trusting in God, I would be terrified of the future. I think about my grandchildren. I think about my friends. I think about all of those things out there, and it would scare me. But what I will tell you is, like Daniel, I want you to know something. In Christ, when we know Jesus Christ our Savior, we are loved. And we will find our strength in God. And so, don't be surprised when it seems like the devil's really gunning for you, or gunning for our government, or gunning for your marriage, or gunning for those things. You've got to be depending on God. If there is evil, and we see there is, then know this: God is opposing it. If there's evil out there, know this, that God is opposing it. And we see that His forces behind the scenes are fighting in our behalf. And so we see here at the end of chapter 10, the messenger says, hey, Daniel, just know that God's got you. This is what's going to go on. This is how it's happening. And don't be afraid. Be strong in God. Now I got to go fight. And I'm glad they're the ones doing the fighting, not me. Did you hear what I said? That's important. We need to let God do the fighting. We do the abiding. Let God fight. We need to abide. Amen. Let's stand.